I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn into real concern and revolutionary citizens real soon. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're part of it.
Now we're supposed to have unity. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the new resistance.
Hello, everybody. This is the New Resistance Podcast. Gosh, it has been a while since I've been on here and put anything out. It was way beyond my control. I had a stroke at the end of September. Took me a minute to get back behind the microphone. Maybe I'll talk about it more at some point. But that's enough about me. Let me know what you think about what I'm throwing down at the_NRP@yahoo.com, the NR Podcast on Facebook, and go ahead and hit like or follow while you're there. Let me know you stop by. Also, head on over to nrpodcast.substack.com for show notes, bonus episodes, and more in the future. The show is released using Anchor. It is the spot to make podcasts. It has everything you need in one place on your phone and computer. Your episodes can be distributed to Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, and a bunch more all at once. And it is free. Download Anchor in your App Store or at anchor.fm. Okay, now, today we're going to dig into how a seed planted in 1984 through a 37-page essay relates to drag queens reading books and dancing for young children. Going to want to stick around. It's going to be a good one. Hold on.
Do we need this? Do we want this? Or do we need this? I used to say socialist country, but you know, the train is past that station. Yeah. Okay, the train is long past that station. They're really into a much deeper bad form of the political world than that, whether it's communism or Marxism or anything you want to call it.
Sadly, he's right. As a child of those who escaped a communist dictatorship, it's not right anymore to just say, oh, they're socialists, or like AOC likes to say we are democratic socialists. No, this is all-out communism. And what is the goal? What is the key target in a communist state? It's to rip apart the building blocks of normal Judeo-Christian society. What is the core building block? It's the family, of course, and the transgender agenda. These people are coming after your children.
Okay. So, most of us by now have at least heard about Drag Queen Story Hour, or these family-friendly, in quotes, family-friendly drag shows for kids. These events are being held all over the country. Maybe that's all you know, that they're being held. Maybe you've read articles and or seen videos about them online. Or perhaps you have no earthly idea what I'm even talking about. And that's fine. That's fine. Look, you don't have to be an expert on these things to know. And I think that most Democrats, even regular Democrats, what few are left, would admit that something is very, very wrong about grown men dressed up in women's clothing and ridiculous costumes reading sexualized books to little kids, or dancing like strippers, rubbing their crotches, their fake boobs, right in front of young kids and soliciting them for tips. You don't even have to be a parent to instinctively know how evil that is. Guess I maybe should have started with this, but if you don't quite know what Drag Queen Story Hour is, let me give you the quick and direct version. Drag Queen Story Hour is, well, just how it sounds. Drag queens, men dressed up in clownish versions of women, read books to little kids at public libraries, at schools, at bookstores. They've only just started showing up in the national news and Twitter posts and articles in the last few years, but they have actually been going on for quite some time now. And some at first said, you know, it's weird that drag queens are reading books to kids, but that is how kids learn, is at story time. So whatever. Well, let me read you a selection of just some of the books that have been allowed to be read in front of children. See, with communists, if it sounds okay and harmless on the surface, always look deeper. Always. The devil is always in the details. Okay, here we go. If you're a drag queen and you know it, they, she, he, easy as ABC. Ooh, that sounds like a fun one. There's also titles such as Gender Queer, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swish. Oh, how cute. With the whole wheels on the bus thing, you know. Today, we are mainly going to talk about Drag Queen Story Hour. But in addition to the Story Hour events, there's also been, and I've talked about them in past episodes, drag shows for, well, kids. They're billed as family friendly and all ages, so that kids will be there. But as you will see in the next few minutes here, all of that is just for show. There has been hundreds of videos and pictures online taken and posted by conservative activists from inside these shows. I'll be posting a bunch of them on our Substack, in our podcast at substack.com, in the next couple days. Just know that it all comes from the same ideology. The same people has the same goals. Now, obviously, Drag Queen Story Hour didn't just pop up out of nowhere. And if we're ever going to mount any real opposition to it, there are three things that we have to know and understand about the sexual politics behind what Chris Rufo calls, quote, the glitter, the sequins, and the heels, before forming an effective strategy to resist. There is quite an extensive history behind it. Now, before I give you those three things, you should know the Story Hours were started by a federal nonprofit called Drag Queen Story Hour. It was founded in 2015 out of San Francisco. As I said, they pitched themselves and their grooming events as family friendly. According to their website, quote, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where everyone can be their authentic selves. Parents, if the idea of grown men and women's clothes, either reading to or dancing provocatively in front of young children, while encouraging them to participate, has your instincts telling you, this is creepy, this is evil, I don't trust this, your fears are justified, well justified. Drag Queen Story Hour may be a laughable sight, but it brings with it a very serious message. Deconstruction of sex, reconstruction of child sexuality, and subversion of middle class family life. And the ideology behind it is now being spread with government support and our tax dollars. Paying attention yet? Hold on.
Any parent with a child in the chamber to remove them if they would choose to do so. Alrighty. This book is gay by Juno Dawson was found in a seventh grade classroom at Collinswood Middle School. It was also on the ELA recommended reading list for seventh graders at J.M. Robinson. I'm going to read from chapter 9, The Ins and Outs of Gay Sex, starting at page 201, part 1, Boy on Boy Sex. Perhaps the most important skill you will master as a gay or bi man is a timeless classic, the hand job. Good news is you can practice it on yourself. The bad news is each guy has become very used to his own way of off. Learning how to find a partner's personal style can take ages, but it can be very rewarding when you do. Something they don't teach you in school is that in order to be able to at all, you or your partner may need to finish off with a handy. It's no wonder that 92% of CMS graduating seniors aren't college or career ready when you're instructing them on how to give blowjobs and handies instead of teaching them how to add and subtract. Superintendent, you stated this book was, quote, brought into the classroom by a teacher with no intent to allow students access. Any teacher that puts material like this on his or her bookshelf is either a bad teacher or a pedophile who grooms children.
Your 2 minutes are up. Thank you.
All right. There are three prerequisites to resisting Drag Queen Story Hour. And the first thing we have to understand is the development of queer theory. Like CRT, this is yet another cancer grown from academia. Queer theory is the intellectual foundation for the Drag for Kids movement. It was born out of an essay written in 1984 by a lesbian activist and writer and college professor named Gail S. Rubin. And it was titled Thinking Sex, A Radical Theory of the Politics of Sexuality. She pretty aggressively goes after the value system that American culture gives to sexuality. And like most communist academic theories, there is plenty of the privileged versus oppressed stuff. She uses 37 pages to exposing the forces that have, in her words, repressed human sexual experience. And she writes, quote, modern Western societies appraise sex acts according to a hierarchical system of sexual value. So Gail Rubin describes this hierarchy using what she calls an erotic pyramid, placing straight married couples at the top, then straight unmarried monogamous couples, followed by all other heterosexuals. Then below that is stable, long-term gay couples, promiscuous homosexuals, and at the very bottom are what I'm calling the despised. I'm talking trannies, transsexuals, what we know today as transgenders, fetishist, sadomasochist, sex workers, and those, again in her words, those who eroticism transgresses generational boundaries. She means pedophiles. Now, the goal of this project, Queer Theory, was to completely tear apart this hierarchy, then rebuild it in their image, of course. You see, they believed this could be done through a revolution of values. And they believed that they were on the verge of fundamentally transforming sexual norms in this country. And at the time, it's not as if there wasn't any evidence to point to. Take the sexual revolution, for example. It had been raging at that time for 20 years, and they won quite a few battles. Can you kind of see how they might think that their plan to upend and destroy the apple cart was possible, though? I have one last quote I want to read you as we finish up here with queer theory. It says, quote, "A radical theory of sex must identify and denounce erotic injustice. It requires language that can convey the barbarity of sexual persecution." In other words, once the image and public opinion of the despised has softened, then the normalizing can commence. Those poor, poor despised, poor, poor pedophiles, they've been so mistreated and victimized.
We're changing people's lives.
Gail Rubin denounces fears of child sex abuse, anti-kitty porn laws, that pedophiles aren't evil deviants. No, they're stigmatized victims of a savage and undeserved witch hunt. Yeah, that's what they are. Yeah, they're victims. Sure. Understanding the evolution of drag after a quick word from our sponsors. Hang on. We don't have any sponsors yet. I just always wanted to say that, you know. Sound important. I'm sure they'll be beating down the doors any day now. Anyways. All right, back to it. The second of three prereqs is understanding the evolution of drag. And there is no better place to start than with a man named William Dorsey Swan. William Dorsey Swan, he was a freed slave. He lived in Washington, D.C. And Mr. Swan happens to be the first known drag queen. Called himself the Queen of Drag. He would dress in elaborate women's costumes. He was also kind of known for organizing these sexually charged, they called them back then soirees, parties, sexually charged parties. The year 1896 rolls around, and dude is busted. Serves 300 days for keeping a disorderly house. Today, we'd recognize that as running a brothel. Drag performances from the days of William Dorsey Swan till about the mid-60s were more sultry and sensual in nature. Then, with the onset of the sexual revolution, they became more acts of resistance and revolution. Drag queens started seeing their job as furthering their ideology. It was no longer just a private performance. It was now public rebellion. They began using their costumes and their dancing to mock flyover country. Their customs, their manners, their fashion. Over time, though, that bar for shocking people kept having to be pushed further and further. And as you can probably guess, the more drag became about shock value and revolution, the grosser and more disgusting it became. Performers began doing things like squeezing their bulges into G-strings, wearing black nighties with huge fake penises strapped on, transparent vinyl miniskirts that reveal panties with the stains of deflowering on them. And the final point I want to mention on the evolution of the art of drag, a 1990 book called Gender Trouble by a woman named Judith Butler is released. None of these names are familiar to most of you, I realize. And I don't ever want to bog you down with a bazillion different names on any story. It's boring, right? You eventually either fall asleep or stop listening. What I want you to realize, though, most importantly, is that it's not so much about remembering names, but remembering ideas and how they've affected our lives. In 2, 3, 5 years, you're likely gonna forget what a name was, but you're for sure going to remember their impact. Got it? Got it? Okay. Now, 1990, Gender Trouble, Judith Butler. It was supposedly more of an intellectual book. The basic argument was that there is nothing essential about the words man, woman, and sex. Familiar idea, huh? That they're all social constructs. That each culture throughout history defines and redefines them according to their own notions. Man, woman, sex, the one I'm talking about. This book provides a theory of social change. Here we go with the theories again. Similar to Gail Rubin's Thinking Sex essay, and this is the main reason why I chose to talk about Judith Butler and her book, Gender Trouble. It says, quote, once the premise that gender is malleable is established and used as an instrument of power, then the work of social reconstruction can begin. Does that not sound like what's been going on for the last, 40 years? They have established pretty much by force that gender is malleable, and it's being used to force you to obey, or else you will lose your reputation, your social media accounts, your job, and if need be, your kids. As to how this relates to drag, the drag queen perfectly embodies Judith Butler's theory. Their performance plays on the difference between the gender of the performer and the gender being performed. She writes, when these categories come into question, it becomes unclear how to distinguish real from unreal. This is the occasion we come to understand what we take to be naturalized knowledge of gender is in fact changeable reality. Call it subversive or something else. Although this insight doesn't itself constitute a political revolution, no political revolution is possible without a radical shift in one's notion of the possible and the real. And that is the kind of theorizing behind Drag Queen Story Hour. And that informs the groomers that are sexualizing your kids. Does that make you feel more comfortable about sending your kids to government school? These people are nuts. Hang on.
To read it. I don't feel comfortable reading it to adults. 13-year-olds can check this book out. And you guys have bought it for them and provided it for them. And it needs to be corrected ASAP. Are you going to eat? Yeah, Earl, I'm going to eat. Do you even know how to eat? No, not really. Papa Gaines never sat you down and said, son, one day you're going to have to eat. No, but he taught me how to eat a butthole. Yep, I would teach you some technique, but it's a little complicated. Son, I don't have time for that. I got 20 over here I need to eat. Is that right? I'm on a deadline. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. There are 79 in this book. 79. 51, 11 dicks. 15 and 9 and a list goes on, and you guys need to fix it.
Welcome back. This is the New Resistance Podcast. Now, why did I tell you about Gail Rubin's essay in Queer Theory, along with Judith Butler's book and The Evolution of Drag? Because it all factors into the evil of the Drag for Kids movement. Okay, so how did we get to the point of having drag queens reading books to kids and family-friendly drag shows all over the country? If you're in your early 40s and younger, do you remember when the so-called reality competition show RuPaul's Drag Race first went on the air? I believe in 2009. There was a faction of drag queens that had begun toning down their routines and their ideology. See, the intellectual project was failing. And I would argue this was far more dangerous than the open transgression of the past. It was the beginning of transforming drag events, adult drag events, into family-friendly, providing children and society with a simplified version of queer theory. It was born out of this new idea called drag pedagogy. And pedagogy basically means a method of teaching. Now, I'm not going to go into who was behind it and all that. Don't have time. They argue that schooling of young kids is used to maintain, tell me if you've heard this before, racist and capitalist modes of reproduction. Now, to disrupt this, they propose drag pedagogy to stimulate, in their words, the queer imagination, teaching kids how to live queerly and bringing queer ways of knowing and being into the education of young children. As dumb and ridiculous as that all sounds, and that's exactly in their words, it's working. It's working. They're succeeding. They are. Right under our noses, these communists have made tremendous strides towards, what was it, teaching kids how to live queerly and bringing queer ways of knowing and being into the education of your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews. See, they look at traditional paths that our lives take, grow up, get married, work 40 hours a week, worship God, raise a family, the path that gives most of us fulfillment, gives us a sense of being worth something, like our life has mattered when we die, and they see that as an oppressive norm that must be destroyed and subverted. Look at where this country is at the last 6 years. The last 2 years. Do you think they're succeeding? Hang on.
For a child to believe something, you have to tell them 14 times before they start to believe it. This was my daughter in ninth grade. By the end of the year, three of the teachers that she had in her classrooms were repeating things to her. She began cutting herself. She became depressed. By the end of the school year, she was also calling herself by a different name. This parent was not informed of these things. I came in for an open house for art, and I saw her name was something different. I am her parent, and as a parent, I should be informed of these things. This is a mental health issue that needed to be addressed. I just want to say that here I am today, and my child has now removed her breasts, is taking testosterone. This causes atrophy. It causes the muscles in her vagina to collapse. I'm asking this board to be monitoring these children. I am asking you that these parents do not have to suffer through this like I have.
I swear this time is gonna be the last one. Gonna be the last one.
They've got skulls on them. Have you noticed that our caps have actually got little pictures of skulls on them?
I don't,
Hans, are we the baddies?
The goal here isn't to reinforce the nuclear family. It's to indoctrinate your kids into the ideological family. It's to reformulate kids' relationship with sex and sexuality. They're calling childhood innocence oppressive. Just look at their literature. Their intentions are spelled out right up front. There's no hiding it. And with the leaders we have and a citizenry who are unwilling to look and unwilling to stop them, why should they? They freely admit, just takes a few minutes of reading to find out. They freely admit that this language about how these events are designed to promote acceptance and inclusion, of helping children develop empathy and tap into their own creativity, is just some bull to provide cover for their real agenda. To groom your children. To re-engineer childhood sexuality from the ground up. To make it okay for pedophiles to rape children. All of the despised have been normalized today, except pedophilia. And they're closer to doing that than you realize. Oh, you think I'm exaggerating? Think I'm being too extreme?
I use the term minor attracted person or MAP because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them. It's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile. A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true, and it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors.
So the same way that we're sending our kids to school to learn these skills, these life skills from a professional, we also need to be ensuring that our students are learning information about their health, about identity, about very complex issues from a professional. I mean, like, it makes sense.
I'm a parent, and I'm sorry to all you parents out there, but you do not get a say in your child's teacher's lesson plans. I spent thousands of dollars on a degree and my educator's license, and I would be gosh darned if parents tried to tell me how to write my lesson plans.
Language is so important. And so one thing that I always, always try to do when referencing the adults in a student's life is referring to them as your grown-ups.
I have a student in one of my classes that's homophobic, transphobic, sexist, purposefully misgenders me. Not only was he rude and disrespectful, he was just like not trying.
So I asked him, where are you getting your information from? And he said, doctors. I said, that's interesting because gender doesn't have to do with the body. He was confused.
Here's to you and here's to me and here's to those who lick us where we pee. Oh, I'm not done. Now here's to me and here's to you and here's to those who lick us where we poo. Cheers!
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children.
A lot of people are coming out saying that we're groomers, that we're child predators, when that is so far beyond the truth. We are just people who are teachers. I'm not going to make your child into something that they're not.
This communist movement, this drag queen story hour, started with voluntary programs at public libraries that have to provide equal access to organizations regardless of ideology and political party. Where is the right on countering this? Within a few years, they went from state-neutral events to now state-subsidized drag shows for kids. Now, this past Christmas season, they even had a traveling Christmas theme show that went all over the country. I believe the closest they got to here was Kansas City. Why aren't we stopping this? Why is the right allowing this filth to go untouched? We can't rely on politicians to stop this. They don't have the testicular fortitude to do it. This will not be going away. It will get worse. I've told you where this is headed. I've told you before, again and again. We cannot live and let live our way out of this. These communists will not hit a certain point and say, well, guys, we did it. We've reached our goals. It's time to hang it up. No, they will not stop until everything is destroyed. Until everything is burned to the ground. We must become activists. We must get involved with groups who are fighting it. If there are none in your area, then you must create your own. We must run for school board. Sign up to speak at school board meetings. These educators, these mayors, these city councils, these library boards, business owners who have allowed this filth to thrive in our communities peaceably, legally, and peaceably, make it known to them that their support and or their inaction will no longer be tolerated or accepted. Look, the spread of sexually charged drag events, grooming and mutilating of kids' bodies, sexualizing kids overall, it may look like they are invincible and unstoppable right now. But I need everyone who hears my voice to keep something in mind, okay? Transgressive, communist, and Marxist ideologies like this always contain the seeds of their own destruction. The more drag queen story hour, the more drag shows for kids, the more of these events spread, the more the word on mutilating kids' bodies, the hospitals, the doctors who are doing it, the more notoriety and popularity they receive, the more the mask slips, the more they begin to reveal their true agenda. Communists can't help it. They get arrogant and they slip. The more they slip, the faster word travels about who they really are, what they are really up to. Have faith. Keep your head up. Keep your ear to the ground and stand against this filth. We're just getting started. Email any questions or comments to the_nrp@yahoo.com. Don't forget to head over to nrpodcast.substack.com for all the show notes to today's episode. Then go on over to the nrpodcast on Facebook and let me know you stopped by and what you think of the show. This is the New Resistance Podcast. My name is Seth. Till next time, see ya! Yeah.